Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Wow, it was sounding awfully quiet. I'm glad to hear somebody's here.
I was here.
Well, good.
It's on the WebEx.
On the WebEx, you're coming in to my strange pictures?
Did you say strange pictures?
Sometimes. Last night, I was going to work in the yard in the day and talk on the phone, and last night I was going to make my pictures, and my daughter called and said, hey, would I take the kids for a few hours?
That was fun.
Well, they are fun.
I'm sure they are. Precious, too.
They are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? Steve.
Steve, good morning. I didn't think I saw my Doug. But he's the only other one I saw on the WebEx.
Yeah, well, you know me, I'm never on the WebEx.
Right.
Need to figure out how to make it work on my cell phone.
Be a mighty shiny picture.
You know, it's just amazing that even though it's a tiny picture, this new Galaxy 3 S3 from Samsung on its 5-inch screen, it's an amazing picture.
They are all the things that they've come out lately. Just think, when we started Nikon, hardly even had a computer.
Yeah,
didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, huh?
Yep.
Probably when it comes down to it, it's probably distracting. Sort of like recording calls. Oh.
Oh. I can't imagine what you must go through to record these calls. So, well, it's time for us to get started, so let's do so. This is Reese Williams, and I'm calling from Vashon, Washington. And welcome to our health style call. Well, I'm not sure if we should call it health style or education 101. Actually, it's beginning to feel like about 2 or 301. Talk about make a difference in time. When I'm feeling like that when we went to college, had hardly anything to learn compared to what there is to learn now. So, well, so far, it looks like we have a few people on the line, but I think that we just went over our food chart, which I agree with what has been spoken about, not just our food, but our daily chart with our goals. You know, one of my favorite things to think about is that if we set a goal we can control, then we can succeed. And that's kind of like this health style chart. Here's our goals, right here, 10 of them, of how to stay healthy. Boy, it all depends a lot, though, on how much we digest. And that's what I'm going to talk about today is digestion. So here's a picture of our digestion tract. And this is aptly colored with a background of red or pinkish red or something. I just wanted to talk about digestion in kind of a common, ordinary way. And the things I learned, boy, that's a... Anybody ever have any digestion problems?
I have had over the past, yeah.
I struggle with digestion quite a bit. Maybe I'm always trying to do the things they say not to. Run all around while I'm eating, do 10 things while I'm eating, have stress. Stress affects my digestion the most. What do you think causes your digestion problems, Monty?
I think sometimes if I eat the wrong food, it's just because it's not digesting properly, or whether my body is, reacting to it or whatever, but that's usually where mine comes from. It's usually within, oh, to an hour or two after I eat a meal when I do have it. Lately I haven't had it, but that was normally my problem before.
In your stomach or down in your lower, your small or large intestines?
Both, I think, in the stomach area. It felt like I had a stomach ache. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it would move on to somewhat of a bowel movement.
So, yeah, that is, when you have a problem with the stomach, then it moves on down to the rest of the body, doesn't it? Well, that's how I feel, too. I can remember having problems as long as I can remember with stomach aches and evidently digestive problems. So I just learned so many interesting things. Anyone else want to add to if you had digestion problems, maybe if you know what caused them or not?
Ruth, I've had some, and I've related it strictly to using ibuprofen. I used ibuprofen for quite a while, and it was wonderful in relieving me of a lot of my discomforts, but after a while it began to cause a lot of, I felt like acid reflux or belching or whatever, and so I discontinued using it, although I do use it on occasion when I really have to have it, but anyway, that's what I related mine to.
Well, Karen, I had never heard of having ibuprofen or any of those type of things affect digestion. Nobody ever suggested that as being a problem to me. However, in my study, like I was just telling Monty, I was going to do this last night, but I had a lot of, I had Sarah's kids. She had a headache, and so I had her children last night. But then I did quite a bit of studying after that, and then this morning. But that is one of the things I learned. But I hadn't heard that before, and now here you are telling me that. So I always really feel like that what we are studying is more true to me if one of us has already had some experience that really tells us that is true, and people do have these kind of problems. So,
I was going to say that for me it was wonderful. See, I've never wanted to ever take drugs, and I just didn't. And I was encouraged to take the ibuprofen because of my constant hurting. Mm-hmm. And when I did, it was incredible just to not be hurting. And so I weigh that against this indigestion, and I don't know which now is the most important. But I wish there was something that reduced inflammation like ibuprofen does that would not affect the indigestion.
I think I found some answers to that. I'm not sure if I've got myself all together since I found so much I was looking for. So today we're going to talk about this. And probably tomorrow, because I'm doing Nancy's call tomorrow, so I thought, well, I'll do digestion. And so pretty much what I started with is to digest and absorb or not, because this is something I've been having trouble with, and I thought that maybe I could find some answers, and maybe other people have some of this kind of problems as well. The things that I've been reading here make the biology, even teaching Chas and Whitney ago or so, wasn't in there. And some of the things that Dr. Blaylock is talking about are in opposition to some of the things that we learned before. One of the things that I learned is that the GI tract, gastrointestinal tract, is the largest component of the immune system. Well, somehow I never thought of my immune system as originating in the GI tract. And so, yourself buried
in... going on for me, Ruth? Because I want to tell you, I know I'm interrupting you, but...
That's okay.
You know, the one thing that people with fibromyalgia has a very difficult time with is absorption through the digestion tract. I was told that a person with fibromyalgia needs far, far, far more supplements or good food because your digestion tract doesn't absorb it like. And guess what? Here I have fibromyalgia, and also along with that, if I'm not taking plenty of immunity, I get continual sore throats. So what you're saying really makes sense to me.
Well, that's good. I hope it will continue to make sense because, you know, I like to kind of get my presentation in some sort of order, but it is not. I'll do my best to orderize it while we're talking here, but there's just so much, all these different things that I didn't know were even related. My GI tract is the largest component of the immune system. Good grief. I never thought about that even. So in the walls of the GI tract is an extensive system of immune cells, lymphatics, and lymph nodes. I never thought they would be there. I thought they were in the groin and in, under my arms, I guess. It's important to appreciate that the interior of the gut connects directly with the outside world, which means that it's exposed to all of the germs and the pollutants and the toxins in the environment. Along with the skin, the GI tract serves as a first line of defense for the human body. Anybody ever think of that before? I have never heard of that before.
It's amazing.
So, here we are, wolfing down our food, often busy talking, giving no thought to chewing everything properly. A couple of chomps and down it goes. Well, I'm doing more than talking. I'm walking, I'm reading, I'm doing something else all the time while I'm, in addition to talking, while I'm eating.
Do you know what, Ruth? This is Kathleen. Okay. It makes me think of when I was nursing babies, and you kind of get to a quiet place and a relaxed place. And I remember so many times if somebody else was there talking to me, the baby'd stop and just look like, you're interrupting us. I just felt that so strongly, like, just go away. Or if
all
I was talking to my daughter and she's nursing, like, and when you think of doing everything else while you eat, that's part of that.
Well, good input. Well, you know, and all this is, you know, what I thought we were going to talk about. There is so much more. I don't know how we're even going to ever, it would take us all a year to learn all this, maybe. Well, we'll just cover it and we'll know a little bit about all of what there is. Try not to get into any of the little nitty gritty, but just these, what I've learned in the last 24 hours is amazing to me. So, this is primarily Dr. Blaylock. He says that vegetables, especially in their raw form, are very difficult to digest if they're not mechanically broken down first. That means chew them up. Because plant cells are coated with an indigestible layer called a cellulose cell wall. If the protective sheet is not broken, especially with raw vegetables, the rich nutrients inside will merely pass through the GI tract unabsorbed. And at the same time, though, in all of his articles, he talks about eating raw vegetables. That nullifies the effects of eating a lot of fruits and vegetables because they will do little to improve our health if we don't absorb them. And we've been talking about that for a good long, long, long time.
Ruth, could I interrupt for a second on this point?
Yeah.
This is Doug. I learned from Dr. Brownstein. I don't know if you read him or not.
I've even met him.
Oh, have you? Wonderful. I like his reading a lot. He uses a term called blenderized vegetables.
Right. And Dr. Blaylock does as well.
I started doing that oh, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago when I first read about it in one of his newsletters. And I put a whole lot of different ingredients in the blender and make about maybe 5 cups by the time I'm done. And it has really improved my performance as far as, the thing I really have noticed is that I have regular BMs now.
Mm-hmm.
That are really, you know, and I had a lot of problems with that because I was diagnosed with the beginnings of colitis a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And probably because I wasn't drinking water and because I wasn't chewing my food and I wasn't eating the right food. A lot of problems with constipation, and it's even been a thing that's been in my family where people have had major colon problems in their older years, and I've been just really rejoicing because my system has gotten better and better.
Well, that's good.
And it's probably working better than it has my whole life, even when I was a kid, it seems like. So, what you're saying about the cell walls or the vegetables, I put all raw vegetables in the blender. All kinds of things, and I won't go into the detail, but it takes me quite a while to get them all in there sometimes.
Okay,
but it's really, really made a change, made a difference for me.
Dr. Blaylock definitely suggested doing that as well. We're really learning that that's a good idea. So thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
So here's a question that for you. Should we drink water with our meals? Well, I've been hearing for a long time that we should not drink water with our meals because we have this hydrochloric acid in our stomach that's supposed to digest our food, and that will digest our food if it's there. But if you drink water, well, then that's what I've been told. Well, then it will dilute the hydrochloric acid. And the job of the hydrochloric acid and your stomach movements and everything is to turn all the food that we eat into a mush. And so, if it doesn't get really into the mush state, then when you get into the small intestine, you are going to have problems. And I know that I have had a lot of problems, and I do take hydrochloric acid, HLC, a lot of times. Have over the years, if you want to know, first of all, if you want to know if you're having a stomach ache, and if you want to know if it's because you don't have enough acid in your stomach, or if you just want some relief really fast, take a teaspoon or two of apple cider vinegar. I keep mine in the refrigerator so it stays fresh, and put it in a cup, and then add some water to it until it's just a bit tart, and then drink it. And I only make about less than a quarter of a cup probably when I do it. I only drink a few gulps of it. But, boy, right away, it's just like, relief. And so then you know it is that you don't have enough acid in your stomach to digest right. And we've heard many times that on a daily basis it's a good idea to drink apple cider vinegar, diluted, of course. But... So we drink water. Karen, just 1 minute. I want to do the water thing. And then let's go ahead. Then let's talk about them both together. Some have advocated avoiding drinking during a meal, claiming it dilutes digestive enzymes and stomach acid. To agree, this may be true, but water also helps break down the food into smaller parts, improving digestion and absorption. Whew. A whole change of knowledge. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, that wasn't me, but I will tell you that the one way you get to break it down in a blender is you got to put some water in there, and so that makes sense.
that's true. Yeah, very true.
Okay. Wait, who else was trying to say something that I just
called? Kathleen, I'm the dentist's wife, and I read years ago you must do the vinegar through a straw. You don't want it on your teeth, or it breaks those down.
Yeah, it erodes the enamel on your teeth.
Uh-huh.
Good point. Thank you. Doug, did you want to say something?
Oh, let's see. Well, I was just saying that it's very, you can't really blend the vegetables without adding water. No matter what you do, and if you put some really juicy ones in there, that's still not enough. I always put a little bit of fruit in there to sweeten it a little bit, and I use stevia in it sometimes. And
okay.
I put a little bit of red wine vinegar in, and so, you know. But,
wow, I never thought about doing that. I put lemon in, that's what I put in mine.
Yeah, I put a little bit in with the rind. I just cut a little slice off, and anyway, I really hadn't thought about
comparing your stomach to a blender, but that is a good idea. Some people have a dry mouth, and so then drinking water with a meal is really important. So
I also use apple cider vinegar, and it's one of my ways I get my water right away. I take a full glass, about 12 ounces, and put a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in. It's one of the first things I drink in the morning. I did have a question about that. Is that on the chart with the alkaline, I noticed that apple cider vinegar was over on the alkaline side, and I kind of wondered how it can be acid and alkaline at the same time. Or
it's acid when it goes in your mouth, and when it comes out the other end, it has an ash. They measure the ash in the urine and check that. And that's how come lemons and acidic things that we eat.
Yeah, right. I noticed the lemons, too. It's kind of, I thought, wow, that's really interesting. I never seen anything, you know, from that point of view. Something could be acid when it starts and then come out alkaline.
Amazing. Okay.
Is that apple cider vinegar with the mother in it, or all apple cider vinegar?
All apple cider vinegar, I think. I think most of the apple cider vinegar is alkaline.
Okay. Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome. So, speaking of the dry mouth, and this is how I went through some of these things last night, and it just seemed like I kept getting sidetracked into the way he put things together. So we're talking about water in with our meal, and then talk about people who have a dry mouth, but then he mentions also that there's an essential fatty acid, gamma-linolenic acid, GLA, that can increase the moisture in your mouth, but you don't have to run off and get another thing, because that is something also that lactoferrin gold 1.8 also does. Also, then I want to remind Doug, be sure and drink that big glass of water with your straw so that it will not affect your teeth.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I have trouble with my teeth already, so.
That does eat into the porcelain on the outside of your teeth, or the enamel of your teeth, if it's not porcelain.
That is a good point. I hadn't really thought about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome. So now then, there's a lot digestion, as he's sort of indicating here. Sorry about the dog. Indicates that you have to start with your mouth, and so then we learn that of course you have to chew your food, and we've been talking about the bacteria in our mouth that can contribute to heart attacks and stroke, actually, and so that they can enter into the bloodstream and infect the walls of the blood vessels. And so, as you can see, this sort of gets away from just the digestion, but just starting with where our digestion starts, in the mouth. And we've been talking about that. So we've already talked about this fact. And so then if it gets into the bloodstream and infects the walls of the blood vessels, that leads to chronic inflammation, which is the leading cause of atherosclerosis.
Say that all again.
Okay, dokes. The bacteria in the mouth just enters into your bloodstream and into the pores and the blood vessels in the mouth, especially if you have bleeding in the mouth, if a person has bleeding in the mouth when they brush their teeth and everything. But having this bacteria in your mouth, it enters into the bloodstream and affects the walls of the blood vessels. And that leads to chronic inflammation. When you have infection, you have inflammation, because inflammation is what your body does to fight the infection. It's all those little fellows coming to fight the war. And so then you have inflammation and builds up in your blood vessels, in whatever all parts of your body, but particularly heart attack and stroke results from that. It's a leading cause. Inflammation is a leading cause now, they know, not cholesterol and all that, but inflammation that is the leading cause of atherosclerosis, or the buildup of plaque and that in the blood vessels, in the brain, in the heart, everywhere. And so it would also be a leading cause of aging, because that is very aging. So this is something that I had not, this next part is something I hadn't found. They have proof of it. The bacteria found in the mouth have been cultured from the atherosclerotic plaque. So that plaque that is built up in the blood vessels has been cultured. And in and that plaque is directly related to the bacteria that's in the mouth. UPS. Yeah.
Boy, does that ever come back to coconut swishing.
Right. Right. If the coconut can really kill the bacteria in your mouth, we have something that we have learned that's really very, very important with that coconut. And that's what they say, right, Monty? Is that the coconut swishing, or Mary Lou, if you're on. Mary Lou looks like she's on.
I'm here.
It does say, and I didn't go into the coconut thing here. I didn't have that in this. He didn't mention coconut swishing. For killing the bacteria in the mouth. So that's what you're telling us, that the bacteria in the mouth can be killed with coconut swishing?
Disturbs it, pulls it, we get rid of it. But Monty, are you here?
It surrounds the bacteria and holds it out.
Yeah.
It encircles the bacteria and pulls it out, and that's why you must spit it out instead of swallow it when you're through.
Yep.
It doesn't kill it. It just takes it out.
I'm not sure why the stomach acid wouldn't kill it. Anyway, so don't worry about swallowing if you swallow a little bit.
That's why the movement and the swishing and the pulling in the mouth is so important, is because, like Mary Lou and Kathleen just said, is that basically it just it surrounds the bacteria, pulls it out, and then you need to get it out of your mouth, and that's why you swish it and pull it, swish it and pull it. And that's why it's important to do it for at least 15 to 20 minutes.
Right, okay,
that's the most difficult thing to do, is for 15 to 20 minutes.
Not talk.
Oh, no, it's that movie
in your
mouth.
That's what I found, Karen, that's what I found. It's the hardest thing to not talk for that long.
It's not talking. Yeah. If I could just hold it in my mouth, I'd be fine. But
no.
Me that I must swish it, and that means moving it, and that to me is very difficult.
I think it feels good. Maybe you have too much in your mouth.
Yeah.
Try a little less.
Well, I keep getting more saliva as I do. That's what fills my mouth up.
Well, when you get saliva, you know, Dr. Fife talks about if you get too much saliva in your mouth, which it will create, okay, when you swish, because that's just the normal reaction of the body. Is to create the saliva. He said, just spit a little bit out. If you want to, he says, go ahead and spit it all out, put some more back in, and just start doing it. But the link.
Okay, I'll do that. That's good. Thank you.
Okay, but there's another interesting species of bacteria that's been isolated both from the mouth and the atherosclerotic plaque, and it's called nanobacteria. I have not heard of nanobacteria. They are so tiny. They're smaller than viruses, which are really, really tiny, and they are unusual in that they secrete a layer of calcium in which they wrap themselves up for protection so that nobody can kill them off. So, then a little note in there, bacteria depend on sugar for growth. So, the more sugar you have, the more bacteria you will have in your mouth. But this explains the calcium crud. That is a Dr. Blaylock term, crud, commonly seen in atherosclerosis plaque within the arteries. So here are these little bacteria that are from the mouth, and then they get out of there and get in, find a place to live, which happens to be in your arteries. Lovely. Calcium crud because of the calcium, the nanobacteria. And so this makes it very difficult for antibacterial drugs or the body's immune system to kill these dangerous germs. That makes me think that here we might have a relationship between another relationship with lactoferrin. Because lactoferrin is able to open the back of the bacteria so that our immune system or antibiotics can kill them. I don't know whether it can also get through that calcium. So hopefully we can swish them out. So Dr. Blaylock does mention that if you think you might have crud in your blood vessels, that the chelation therapy with antibacterial treatments or immune stimulation may reduce the risk of atherosclerosis and even reverse it. And recent studies confirm this idea. Both Dennis and I have done some chelation therapy with the Dr. Wright's Tahoma Clinic. Okay, so you don't want to get bacteria in your mouth because you've got all those things going on. So first of all, we need to really tell people about these things, especially our children who's raising our grandchildren or our own children, if we're doing that at this time. The second step is also important to sterilize your toothbrush before each use. Hold the bristles under really hot water for 2 minutes. 2 minutes? I'm going to have a toothbrush holder. I don't want to stand there for 2 minutes.
You can put it in the dishwasher.
Good idea.
You know, that is a great idea.
I belonged to the dental wives years ago, and they said, just do that. A nurse said, you pop it in your dishwasher every once in a while.
That's the microwave.
Yeah?
I threw my microwave out a long time ago, but a dishwasher works.
That might be a good use for a microwave. Mine doesn't get used very much. I have kind of like Karen.
Mine either. I clean my sponges in there.
I put my sponges. I was doing that, in the washer, and now I put them in the dishwasher. I told you we're going to be all over the wall here, and all kinds of different things are related to our digestive system. All kinds of tips here. I'm certainly appreciating all of them. Well, actually, you're getting kind of close to the end of the time. And we have not even dented the surface. We haven't even looked at all my, let's see. We have enzymes to talk about. We have artichoke extract to talk about. We're not going to talk about today. Obviously, we have fighting gastritis.
Ruth, it's called Tune In Tomorrow and you'll get the rest of the story.
I think tomorrow, tune in tomorrow and you'll get another bite.
Yeah, that's right.
And, of course, we have Kenton digestion, and so it's a big story. I think I'll have plenty to talk about for quite a long time here as we learn more and more.
So, Ruth, did you get this from the Blaylock newsletter?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me which one it was?
It's October 2005.
Okay.
I thought maybe I had it, but I didn't.
Also,
yes.
I don't know about the oil pulling for this, but I did see my neurologist yesterday. I had a CT angiogram about a month ago, or a little less than a month ago, and I saw him yesterday. And they not only did my brain, but they did my carotid arteries because they were concerned because I had some plaque in my carotid arteries. And yesterday, his exact words were, "Your carotid arteries are clear."
Boy, that's what I call deep swishing.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Yeah, isn't that great? So.
We're doing something right there, Mary Lou.
You bet we are.
Well, then, yeah, and all that exercise probably you're doing. It's good, too. All right, well, okay, folks. Time's up for today. Hope you enjoyed all this. And we have so much more to learn. This is exciting, I think. I love learning, so. Especially
yeah,
if you help our health.
Yeah, really terrific.
Anybody else have any questions or comments before we close?
Yes, I want to ask something, Ruth. With all of the things that we've been discussing since January, has there been a consistent outline or a record kept of what we've been discussing? This can be repeated again. I mean, this is a lot of good information, and I hope that it's not just a one-time. I don't learn one time. I have to hear things over and over again. And I'm just wondering if there's any of this been
it's recorded.
Well,
yeah.
But is you know, if we could create a manual, that's what I'm wanting.
That was my goal from the beginning, is to create a book that I could put together with pictures in it that the grandparents could read to the children. And my goal was really that the grandparents and the parents and parents could read to the children and basic good health, live to encourage them to live a health-style life. And so I have all of the slides that we've used. I have all those. I have a health-style library. But I remember when I was concerned because I was feeling like I was just not getting organized with it, and that was a part of my frustration, is that I wanted to have it, but it's just, we are all over the wall. I mean, it's everywhere. There's so much. So I still have everything, and hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be able to organize something. I do have all the data, a lot of the data anyway.
Well, it'll all come together.
I'm just thinking that if this call was going on, we started it in January. If come this next January, we actually went back and rehearsed these same things all over again, for me, it would be even a better learning process.
Well, probably, that's what I thought we were going to do. We're never going to get finished.
Mary Lou?
Yes?
Do you remember how I used to do the lifestylesupport.org? Every day I would take the time to write out notes and put a,
right.
You know, a few sentences in there.
Yeah.
So that you could do the thing.
Yeah.
I sort of tried to do that with the name of the call, but, I record the call and somebody else sends me notes. And I've also thought of starting a blog, and I haven't figured out how to do that yet, but it would be so easy to do a blog and everybody can respond to different things every day, and then we'd have our textbook online.
Wow.
Well, I've been sending out, like I sent out just Monday or so, the notes for
exactly.
The call. Monty does some of them, and then I send them to Monty usually before he does his wrap-up of the week, so that adds to his notes. So we're trying to put them all together, and so you should be getting those notes, and a blog would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't get those notes, Ruth.
Really? I'll go back and...
I think I got them for the first time this week, and I
I've sent them several times. Have you gotten them before, Mary Lou?
I have gotten them before, but it's been several weeks since I got them.
Okay. I have a week's worth of notes that I haven't sent yet, because after I just write them while we're talking, and so
right.
somebody else has to write in for me on when I'm talking.
Mary,
I want to know. When I'm creating my discussion, I do an outline and I follow it, you know, each time. Do the rest of you do that?
No, you're awesome. You and Ruth both do, I'm sure, and Monty does, I'm sure, but I don't.
Well, I do that outline, and I have it all stored in my computer. And what I was hoping was that everybody else was doing that, and if we all took our outlines, and Ruth is the school teacher, the analyzer, she could put that all together in a really good format to accomplish what she's talking about.
Yes, yeah, so we can read it to children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
But you can't do it. But the outline would help a lot. But, you know, that's going to take years. I don't know. Maybe I could hire somebody. Because I want pictures. They have to have pictures to go with it. And
yeah.
If you want to fix your outline with some pictures, you just go to the Bing. I have it open, actually. Maybe I do have it open. Not there.
Bing Images, I like them.
Bing Images. I have a dictionary open now, so in case I couldn't pronounce any or didn't remember what some of these words were, I have open. No, I don't have it open right now, but it is Bing, B as in boy, ING, Images. And that's where I got this. That's where I get all my images. And then you just copy them and paste it into whatever you're making your outline on. Or you can send them to me, and I'll put them on slides, so the slides will become the pages, especially the picture part. So that's another reason why I keep making these slides, is because it's supposed to be a picture book, and then with probably a picture and a page with a bunch of words on it to read. Geared at about fourth grade level. But that doesn't mean, I've never thought that because you're talking at a different level, that you didn't use words like atherosclerosis or whatever. Little kids love big words.
Yes, and if their parents won't teach them this, we can sneak it to them.
Okay, good guys. You have a great day, and I will see you, and we'll have some more digestion tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ruth.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.